for centuries. Darkness ruled over the world. The evil and the wicked reigned supreme. But along came a podcast imbued with light, determined to serve, return, and fight for righteousness, to establish Dharma in life, to four corners of the globe. The call was heard. The end was the beginning, and the beginning was the word. It was mightier than the sword. The Lord was first take this birth to realize heaven on earth.
Okay.
Hello, Prue Barnes.
Hey, babe.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
You're in Melbourne, right?
Yeah, Melbourne. Yeah.
Fun times?
Fuck's sake. Yeah,
right.
Look, it's been interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, challenging times.
They are, but look, like, what are you going to do?
Exactly right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What have you been doing?
Look, I just had a call with a friend before, and like we had like fuck all to really say to each other. I've just been like, look, after I finished my course with Wild Grace, I've just been like walking so much that I've now put my pelvis out multiple times. you know, like the normal, right? Like reading and yoga and meditating and like.
You haven't gone down the rabbit hole on those conspiracy theories at all?
Look, that's not my jive, and I knew you were going to ask me.
I just thought I'd put it out there.
Nah, like it's not really my, sorry, just turn the dishwasher off. It's not really my go, so, and I try like as probably ridiculous as this may sound to you, like I really do fucking try not to watch the news. And I feel like
yes,
all of the information that's meant to come to me comes to me through someone, you know.
Yep.
But like, uh-huh. Yeah, it's not my area.
Great. Well, what is your area?
Truth.
Truth.
Yeah, and like, you know, like, just
what,
like
what do you do? What do you do? That's what I'm asking.
What I do. So, yoga teacher for 7 years now. I was a shoe designer for a long time in the fashion industry. And I do sound healing, meditation, and most recently female embodiment work, and hold space for some of that.
Beautiful.
Tantric based sort of stuff. And I'm a soon to be, hopefully, studio owner.
Right. That's been like keep pushing it back, right?
Well, yeah, we've had to, but it's been 6 years in the making and right on the fucking precipice of opening.
What's it
and
called?
Just the light practice.
The light practice. Where is it?
So Moorabbin, in the old Philip Morris cigarette factory, that new precinct there. Uh-huh. So yeah, we will open whenever
state
it's formats. Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's time. You've disappeared again, but that's okay. I'll keep talking to you.
I'm coming back.
So how did you become spiritual? No.
That weird, you know, like ghost jumping thing at the moment. Anyway.
Sorry, I missed that. What did you say?
I said my phone keeps doing that ghost, like, you know, doing its own thing. So I apologize if I keep going off the screen.
Okay.
I became spiritual at a really young age due to a family tragedy, I guess. My brother Creed died when I was 10 years of age. He, in a surfing accident, he had a heart condition that was undiagnosed, and he was a professional surfer and died at Margaret River Point.
Right.
And from that day, from 10 years of age, you know, like my life changed, the trajectory of my life, of my entire family's, you know, it was never the same. Mm. And all of my family members went through, and myself included, I guess, at, you know, even though I was only little, went through this spiritual journey and, I guess, awakening and searching and, you know, fucking turmoil and hell and to hell and back. And I guess my my spiritual learnings were through each of my different family members, my mother, my dad, and my eldest brother, Dean's experience, and then my own. Mm-hmm. But they all went in search for answers. And I guess the most potent thread for me was my eldest brother, who at the time was sort of like struggling with a drug addiction and this and that, and, you know, went off the rails a bit after Creed died, but then found the Brahma Kumara yogis. And I don't know if you know much about them, but it's quite extremist. And
tell me about them.
So so Brahmacharya, as most of your listeners would know, is about non-excess. So it's, you know, no sex, no alcohol, no substances, you know, very strict diet, meditating in whites for hours and hours a day. So he went from, you know, one extreme to the other, and I got exposed to that, and all of his study and self-study and knowledge and learning. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I'll try not to cry. I remember I must have been 11, and it was the first time he took me to the Brahma Kumara Centre in Perth in Western Australia. And, you know, they armed and there were gongs playing and, you know, all this kind of thing. And it was someone's house, you know. Mm. And I remember when I went in, and it was this long 3-hour meditation, and there are a lot of men there. And so that resonant sound of om, you know, from a lot of men being in the room is so rich and so deep. And I remember it going through, like, literally, like, through my bones. And my brother looked at me and I was like, fully shitting myself, like, just like where do I run, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, how fast can I get out of here? And he put his hand on my leg to sort of steady me, and then after it had finished, he took me outside and we sat on the steps, and he said to me, you know, you were scared. And I said, terrified. And he said to me, but that's God's voice. Mm. You know, you don't ever need to be afraid of God's voice. And I remember saying, like, you know, I don't understand. And he was like, Om is the resonance of purity of all things of the universe and of all sound ever created, the most pure sound. And you know, it can never harm you. And in fact, we all come from it and the sound from which it emanates, and we will all return to it. And he
at
said,
11.
At 11. And he said, and that's where Creed's gone, to that place, to that most pure place. And I remember it like it was said to me.
Hello.
Coming.
Yeah. You remember back. It like it was said?
It was yesterday. You know, that whole conversation. I can remember that whole conversation, him sitting there on the steps, like the air on my skin. It was like, you know, a truth And it is the truth, but it was this truth being told to me at this very young age. And at 17, I lied to a tattooist and got, you know, I'm tattooed on my ankle, and that was my first tattoo of many, right. You know, but obviously it stuck with me. But I then went down a path that was very, you know, I guess success-driven and money-driven and career-driven in the fashion industry, and followed my father to the point of, you know, global success. And I then got sick and really unhappy. And I was married at the time and, you know, had everything that I thought that I wanted, and, you know, the house and the bloke and the cars and all the cash and success and all this shit. And I got really sad and started taking drugs and drinking a lot. And, you know, drugs were prevalent throughout my life. You know, I've jumped from 11 to, you know, early 30s, but I don't think all of that is really that significant. In fact,
did you do any practices after you, when you're 11? Like, did you continue any meditation and stuff on OMS and stuff like that, or did you just kind of go away from it all? You're muted.
Fuck's sake. I'm not doing it. It's the phone doing its little ghost jumping.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You got spirits in your house, huh?
100%.
Wow, I'm going to talk about that later. Let's get back to that.
We'll
later.
Talk about that in a sec.
Yeah, but wow.
Look, there was a little bit of following that thread, but to be honest, not a heap. And, you know, at 17, I started working for my dad, and, you know, he taught me so much about business and vision and branding and life and money and, you know, all that stuff, but it wasn't spiritually rooted. It kind of took me off that course. But it wasn't until I got so sick and an autoimmune disease and then had a miscarriage in my marriage that I went off in search of something, and I went to Puerto Rico and stayed at this clinic, the Ann Wigmore Clinic, and stayed there for, I don't know, I think it was 3 months to get well. But we did yoga twice a day, and I became friends with this girl who was a yoga teacher, and she'd done her TT in Hawaii. And it was about a week in that she said to me, like, you should become a teacher. And I was like, oh, you're crazy, like, you know, I'm not good enough, or, you know, all that crap. And she was like, no, you should. Yep. And then after Ann Wigmore, I rang my husband. I'd heard about a TT that was happening in Hawaii through Yoga Works, and I rang him and just said, I'm not coming home, and I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to Hawaii. And he was like, whatever you got to do, babe, like, go for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that sort of continued for a while, where I'd hear about this thing and then this thing, and, you know, it just kept sort of snowballing. And when I finally did come home, I was never the same. And I remember, I think it was the first night that I was home, and, you know, I was, like I said, a shoe designer, but second generation, and, you know, very talented and very successful, but I had all these original shoes. Like, my personal shoe wardrobe was filled with Jimmy Choo's and Gucci and, you know, Givenchy and you fucking name it, you know. And I think it was insured for $150K at the time. Wow. And my husband's heard all this, like, bang, 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 you know, going on in the room, and he's come in, and I'm up on a ladder, and I'm like throwing them all on the floor, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, get rid of them. Like, you can't fucking take this. Like, it's fucking disgusting. Like, get rid of them. And he's like, babe, stop. Like, you know, like, you've lost your mind. And I just, there was this part of this, like, world that I had created for myself, this illusion of what I thought meant something and what I thought I was worth and what life was meant to look like. I had created this thing, and I systematically unknowingly, but looking back on it now, I started to burn that fucker to the ground. Like all of it, the marriage, the house, the money, the cars, like, mm-hmm. you know, to the point right now, like, you know, obviously I have a lot of money invested in light practice, but I have no money.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've literally burnt it all until there is nothing left except,
truth.
Yeah, like the truth of what I'm meant to be doing. It's mm-hmm. quite phenomenal. And there's more to that story, but I'll let you lead the...
No, you can go back to it. Keep going? Yeah.
So I think because I've had... This is my third glass of wine that I'm sharing with you.
yeah.
I can tell you I made the cardinal sin of falling in love with a student.
Uh-huh.
That didn't end very fucking well, and it's ill-advised to anyone yeah. that's listening. Mm-hmm. You know, and then whilst it's ill-advised, I think it's part of the unraveling and the, you know, the returning to and all of that journey. Takes you down and, you know, I'm not ashamed of any of it, but, you know, it hasn't been a pretty road.
I don't think it ever is really, right?
No, well, I don't think it's meant to be. And yeah. I think for you to be a good teacher of anything, but especially mm-hmm. of what, you know, I'm blessed to do, you know, and there are some good teachers out there that are very young, but, you know, for me, it comes from like reaching down and reaching out this depth of experience and truth that is rooted in mistake and fucking.
You have to walk through some fire.
You have to, but just like appalling kind of shit that you can draw actually something that's potent mm-hmm. and land on people. And, you know, I'm really good at emoting and I'm really good at holding space for people, but I leave like a piece of me mm-hmm. on the ground every time. There's sort of this, you know, like this raw dumping of something, of experience, mm-hmm. of a thread, of a moment, of a truth, of something. And that's how I teach anyway. It's exhausting, but it's it's approachable. It lands on people. Like mm-hmm. you meet them somewhere in their shared experience of whatever's going on, and I believe that is where that's where we meet each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be in wounding. It can, you know, it doesn't always have to be that wounded self, but there has to be authenticity and truth behind it. Otherwise, we're not fucking teaching yoga. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm teaching a Pilates class. It may as well be, you know,
yeah,
and fuck that for a joke. I'm sorry. Anyone who's listening teaches Pilates, but I did for a while and it's not for me.
It's not yoga.
No.
No. Mm.
So.
Right. So did that bring us up to right now then?
Well, no, I guess it brings us to where the light practice came about, and I was still married and had a dream where, and I don't know if, you know, if you can relate to this, but, you know, sometimes you dream about people that have passed and sometimes they visit you. And I can perceive a major distinction, but my brother who passed when I was 10 came to me in this dream, and he's come to me like this twice, only twice, once the night after he died. Mm-hmm. when I was little, and once this time. And he took me onto this like green field, and there was you know, it told me to look up, and the sky turned into like a trap door, and these arms came out, and I like grabbed onto the arms, and we went up through this like tunnel of light, and you know, and spun up, and we're in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And no one up there spoke except my brother, but everyone was streaks of light, but we all had mm-hmm. golden threads attached from my heart to your heart, like out like spider webs, you know, like thousands and thousands of webs connecting mm-hmm. everyone. And that's how we communicated, was through the heart space. So there was just this knowing. Mm-hmm. And my brother said to me, you know, you're not doing what you're meant to be doing. And I was shoe designing then. And he said, you're meant to teach yoga. Mm. And anyway, we were transported from the spirit world to the ocean in Quarramut Bay in Gracetown, where my family had a house. And in fact, we sprinkled his ashes and we were sitting on surfboards together. And he said to me, this is your, I can't even get it out, shit. He was like, this is your practice now, the light practice. And points in front of him to the sky, and the sky turned into a projector. Mm-hmm. And there was like water rippling up the, you know, like the projector screen, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people standing in front of it. And then I woke up, but when I woke up, I was like, you know, and like mm-hmm. said to my husband, like, fuck, you know, and I'm like crying uncontrollably and telling him, reliving this vision that I'd had. And he just looked at me and he said, well, then that's what you'll do. Mm-hmm. And it just, from that day, it's been this 6-year journey of trying to find the space, trying to get the concept down, trying to get the branding right, trying to find the right business partners, you know, like just this mm-hmm. Unwavering sort of vision. And, you know, it's funny, part of the elements that he showed me in the dream I've only gathered over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And what he really showed me in essence was the gateways to embodiment almost personified. Mm-hmm. And so the light practice is a sensory experience, one that I don't believe has ever been realized before in a yoga studio setting. So there is visual art, there are different lighting concepts which evoke different sensations and states within the nervous system, sound, breath, all these things. And you know, I'm so proud of it. Mm. But it is the biggest like fucking cock tease of my life, that literally 2 days before, you know, we were going to launch, we've been denied. Mm-hmm. But you know, the businesswoman in me is like, fuck that. And mm-hmm. You know, but the yogi in me is, well, clearly I had more things to gather mm-hmm. before I could do it properly. And I think that's why Wild Grace has come along. And but also I guess the only other part to that is I had some real heartbreak in December of last year that shattered me. And you know, I terminated a pregnancy. My brain stopped producing dopamine. Like, I literally lost my shit mm-hmm. December of last year. And so there was a further unfurling. There was a further unraveling and learning to take place. And, I guess I'm only I guess I'm only just now breathing again from that. So had we opened, maybe I wouldn't have been ready, you know, like, so mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, trust the timing of your life and all these fucking quotes and shit. And I mean, you know, I do believe in a lot of it. A lot of it is just crap, but it's funny. It's funny how life unfolds.
Is it okay to ask, do you think the yoga, the spirituality affected the relationship?
100%.
Yeah. Because you went from being shoe lady to yoga lady.
You mean the marriage?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It just became... it became like ships in the night kind of thing. There became a, whilst he was very supportive, there did become a disconnect. And there became this yearning within me, this searching within me for more, for more potency, more depth, more this, more that. And, you know, to his credit, he held me in all that very well. But, yeah, it was like I was one person, you know, one minute and someone else very much the next. And, yeah, it was it was part of their undoing for sure. Yeah.
It's a tough one, huh? Well, especially because we change so much. Like you said, you're throwing out your shoes.
Yeah.
You know, you're throwing out everything. You want to get rid of it all because it feels like a bad dream, really.
Exactly.
So, yeah, lots of times we go through that full cycle and come out the other end. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what about, so is there any chance that you're going to open up the light practice on the 14th of September? If the lockdowns don't get passed, if there's no extension of the state of emergency, would you open it then?
Well, we can't, right? We've got to wait until this 10 people, fucking 20 people, whatever. I really don't see studios, look, and, you know, now I'm on film, I could get this wrong, but I don't see studios opening before the end of the year.
Yeah, right.
And that's, you know, that is, that feels like gravity to me, but we'll just have to see, you know,
You know, I was just thinking, because if they don't pass this, the extension, then they wouldn't be able to stop anyone from doing anything. So they could do it, but. You know, they'll probably cave in because they're soft.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about your spirit house? Tell me about that.
Well, my house, my house is pretty much like, you know, open to all of it, and whoever stays here, or like, you know, friends that have ever, like other yoga teachers that have like stayed at any of my houses. Since my divorce, usually get a bit of a rude awakening from one of two spirits. One, obviously, my brother, Creed, who used to torment Jesse Fennick with the vacuum cleaner, turn the vacuum cleaner on and off. there's a funny story about that. And my high school boyfriend who passed away, in 2008, he often comes and turns shit on and off, or like flicks the lights, or actually twice he's told men to get out of my bed that were clearly unworthy. So there's all sorts of shit going on here, but yeah, the orbs are flying.
The orbs are strong.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm just like, oh. Who's that? All right, can you flick the lights again? Can you give me a yes? Can you give me, you know? And people think that I'm nuts, but honestly, like, I couldn't really care. And got heaps of friends that are clairvoyant that sort of back up the claims and all of that. And
yeah, I've seen it on your Insta stories. There's definitely orbs there.
There's orbs.
Yeah, they're right into it. I'm sure right? If I look back on this, we'll find some as well.
Have you got orbs at your place?
No, I don't have any orbs, no.
I think you need to double check.
I don't. I can do without them. I can do without them.
Really?
Yeah, that you can keep them. You can look after
okay.
them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get extra guidance. I'm into it.
Yeah, I know. You love it.
So what else?
What's your favourite spiritual wisdom or quote? One maybe that you remembered from a long time ago, or something that carries you through the tough times or the good times. What do you got?
Everything is temporary.
Everything is temporary. There we go.
Right? The good, the bad, but that yeah, like that concept of non-attachment, and it's so hard. Like mm-hmm. it really is hard, but it is true. And there's so much relief in that.
Mm-hmm.
That everything is temporary, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm going with that.
Great. And what else for you then?
Well, you know, let me out of this fucking house and let me teach again. But yeah, I think the most exciting thing
have you been doing a lot of like Zoom teaching?
No. So I've chosen to do none.
Uh-huh.
Because the light practice has not been realized in actuality yet. I didn't want to sort of cheapen the brand by doing something, you know, in a little, that all you get to see me is in some little screen. And, you know I'm separate to that. However, yeah, my business partners and I just don't feel that it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be doing a female embodiment sort of tantric-based masterclass soon, just to kind of spice everything up, because a lot of the yogis that are in contact with me are like excited to see what I've learnt with Wild Grace, and that was the most phenomenal deep dive into, like, you know, the archetypes, the shadow self, you know, breath practices, orgasmic techniques. Like, it's just anyone wanting to learn about that, go and study with them. They're like fucking phenomenal, very powerful mm-hmm. Women.
But ladies?
Powerful work.
Just for women?
So the training that I just did, that I just completed, was their first co-ed kind of training, and it was so amazing to have men in the space and, you know, navigating all of that. So, no, it's for men as well. But that is probably the most beautiful work that I've ever done, that and going through the spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that coinciding with one another. It was a lot at once, but that has transformed me in a way. I don't even think I could put into words, but
cool.
Really potent work.
And I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at myself.
That's okay.
What about Russell Crowe?
I fucking love Russ. Who doesn't like Russ?
Like Russ.
No. So my eldest brother, mm-hmm. who's still on this earth, he loves Russ, and he's 10 years older than me. So, you know, I grew up watching a lot of Bruce Lee, a lot of Russell Crowe, a lot of have you seen The Highlander with Sean Connery?
I'm not sure.
Okay, you need to hang up and go and watch that. Christopher Lambert, Sean Connery, the Highlander. So I grew up on all that kind of stuff. But my brother and I always, whenever we see each other and he lives in Perth, it's like, you know, I'll come over with a cup of tea and I'll be like, Commodus, drink this tonic, you know, like there's always these like lines from The Gladiator.
Yeah.
It's like so funny. So, no, whenever I'm a bit kind of, I don't know, wayward or a bit sad or a bit whatever, like Russell Crowe just gives me life. And like he's so fucking hot in The Gladiator, right?
Yeah, it gives you life.
It gives me full life, like, you know, and I just need to see some kind of battle and the good and evil and the hero's journey and the whole shit, you know?
Yeah, gotcha.
So that's where I was at tonight when we decided to do this.
Yeah. So he hasn't finished yet?
No, I've got the dregs, just the very end. But Russ is going to die, as I told you.
Don't spoiler alert.
I'm happy to be talking to you instead of watching Russ go down hard.
If you don't finish it, Russ never dies.
Probably.
It's happily ever after.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, what? Yeah.
Is it?
Is it?
It going to be? Give me some sense of hope. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is eventually. Yeah.
When's your prediction?
Yeah. Depends what the question is, doesn't it?
When's it going to be happy ever after?
Oh, in the end.
In the end.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the great awakening after all. You know?
Yeah.
It's going to get darker before it gets better.
That's it.
Yeah. Shit's going to really hit the fan, man.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So fasten your seatbelts, folks.
I'm ready.
Yeah. This is what we've been training for all this time, huh?
Right. Thank fuck we've got the tools.
Yeah.
The people that don't, the people that are like unaware and unconscious and unawakened, like, you know, I feel for them.
It's so hard, huh? It's so like traumatic.
Right.
They think it's all real as well, which is even more worse. Right.
they think the illusion is real. That's it. Mm.
Yeah. So it's good to be able to go, it's not, it's just an illusion, but it's still an ugly illusion at times. But, you know, at least we know. Other people are just like plugged into it. It's like, oh, don't be plugged into it.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, hopefully the light practice can open sooner rather than later.
Thank you.
And thousands of people can be standing there in front of that screen.
That's it.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing.
Thank you.
Interrupting your Russell time.
No problem. Russ is always waiting for me.
That's the power of Blu-ray.
That's it.
Or probably you probably have upgraded to like just using it like Apple TV or something.
I have.
Yeah. it's just funny because where I am, I'm at, like near Byron, and they have a video network, the shop.
Yes.
They still have one of those, and I'm like, is that the world's biggest bodega or what? That's ridiculous. Well, it's 2020. Who the hell's hiring compact discs?
Nobody.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody. Anyway, but they're still thriving in Brunswick, so you know.
Godspeed.
Godspeed, yeah, that's right.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Prue, catch you later.
Take care.